Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set,
just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeart Radio application. Hope you all are doing well. Big show today, hour two. We will be joined by Graham Neff, Clemson University Director of Athletics. He will be on the program in hour two. Also, Mike Yuva, Gamecock Central, joins the program to hang out with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. College baseball action, the College World Series. We'll have updates there and much more for you here on the program this afternoon. Don't forget, Thursday, Friday, retrospective editions of the program. A little throwback with some live action for you. So we'll be all over the map. And I'll tell you this, looking forward to those episodes, because the throwback interviews from time to time conjure up some great and painful memories from yesteryear. All right, without further ado, though, he is on Twitter, at Mike_UVA, Mike Yuva, here on the program on a Tuesday. Mike, buddy, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, Swanee. How you doing?
I'm great. Look, okay, I took some heat on social media, and you're younger than me, Mike. Maybe I'm just out of touch with times. People took my tweet that I put out that said, I don't want to see the day that Clemson has Lamborghinis and exotic cars on the field, to mean that I am, you know, anti-NIL. I'm like, stay off my lawn. My point is this, Mike, on all of it, and you tell me, and I don't know what South Carolina's done, quite frankly, if they've got Lamborghinis out there on the field, whatever. I just feel like that's not selling what college football is supposed to be about, right? Like, it's supposed to be about playing the sport, winning championships, the educational part of it as well, still, even in the NIL world. And I think it sends a bad message. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I do think, and at any point, Swanee, cut me off and say that's not what I said. I think you would agree that, to some degree, players deserve to be able to make a couple bucks, whether it be off their name, image, and likeness, which, of course, you know, the rule is so, has so much gray area. But the point being is, you know, being able to make a quick buck because of who you are, or, you know, be able to have a couple bucks to be able to go, you know, take a girl out on a date or whatever, go get some lunch. That stuff's great, because unfortunately, and I can think back to when I was even in college at the Division II level, it's very difficult to be able to go out and get a job while also being a full-time student athlete. So that part of it is extremely difficult. Now, I know there's going to be people on the outside say, you know, woe is them. You know, that's what they signed up for. Absolutely. But at the same time, too, if someone is a tremendous oboe player or whatever, can play the violin, they can be able to go to school, be able to make money from a scholarship, be part of a band or whatever, and then they can also do stuff on the side.
But wouldn't you find that weird if the band department had a Lamborghini out on the field? Like, isn't that just weird?
well, I think the thing. Well, Swanee, I know where you're going with all this. I think the thing about it is, from a player standpoint, it's like, all right, we know from an athlete, when we talk about athletics, they're going to be able to generate more money than anywhere else. We know that compared to, you know, Johnny who plays the oboe in the school band. But at the same time, too, and this goes back to basically what you said at the beginning, but I wanted to set everything up. This is kind of what it's become, because it's like, all right, hey, look, you come to a Michigan State, you go to one of these schools, this is what we can set you up with, because maybe, you know, there's a opportunity for you to do a partnership with a car dealership. That's the part of it that there's so much gray area, because how are you going to police that? You know, how are you going to police that? Certainly there's better opportunities to go out there if you want to go get a car or whatever, but not everyone's going to be able to have that opportunity. That is where the unfair advantage is going to come in. But at the same time, too, when you talk about Power 5 schools or maybe a school that has more going on in the area compared to maybe another school that's in the middle of nowhere, there could be more marketing opportunities as well. So it's just, I don't know if we could ever do anything to fully make the playing field fair. Not that I ever felt like it was fair to begin with, just in general, when you look across the landscape of college sports for different sports. But yeah, I mean, I know I'm kind of just talking, you know, freely now, but I don't know. It shouldn't be about that, but I don't know what we can do to prevent that.
Here's what I know. And Gamecock fans, I know you guys think that I don't like you, but you're wrong. I like you a lot. I don't think you'll ever see.
I'm a USC alum.
I don't think you'll ever see Shane Beamer do it. I don't. I think there's a lot of things that you need to accentuate as a program. Like, to me, that sends the wrong message, because NIL is not about the school giving you anything or what you get, right? That's like your name, image, and likeness. And I'm all for that. But I just find it, I don't know. It makes it uncomfortable. And people are like, oh, look at you, better than thou. I'm like, no, I just don't like the idea. I wouldn't like it if it was Clemson. I wouldn't like it if it was South Carolina. I don't like it when it's Louisville. Because I feel like this sport, even though it's grown by leaps and bounds financially for the coaches, and now the players have the right to make, you know, their money, that we still need to hold the focus on what's most important for these guys. Am I wrong? Like,
well, let me ask you this, okay? Because we've seen in just a short period of time how Dabo, I wouldn't say he's changed his tune, but he essentially has. He's changed his tune on how they look at the transfer portal, how they look at certain things and they go about it. I say that because if you are a coach, if you are a Dabo Swinney, if you are a Shane Beamer, and I'm not specifically saying this is how they're thinking, but for the sake of the conversation, since we're in South Carolina, if you see other schools like a Michigan State, and let's say they have tremendous success recruiting through that tool that they're using when you're talking about the cars, and we can use cars for just the example because you brought that up. It could be anything, though. And you see other places do it, and you might look at it right now, and you're like, ugh, you know what? That's not what I want. That's not how I want to do this. But at some point, you feel like you're being left behind. And you have a tremendous opportunity to level the playing field, because you might know someone that you build relationships with, someone knows someone in the boosters that has the connection to a car dealership or whatever the case may be. I think it's difficult not to at least look at it if it is perfectly legal, in which it is right now. So I think for some coaches, they might agree with what you're saying right now, Swanee. But the question now becomes, if this is legal, if how Michigan State is going about their recruiting right now, and I know we keep using them just because of the cars, the Lamborghinis, but if they're doing it, other schools start to do it, and the NCAA can't do anything about that, and you feel like you're being left behind, you're going to have to adjust, because if not, you might be out of a job in the next couple of years if you're not able to get the wins like other schools.
Follow him on Twitter at @Mike_UVA. Again, GamecockCentral.com covers the South Carolina Gamecocks. He does a tremendous job. And Mike, you picked yourself up on another. Is it your second Emmy now over the weekend?
Yep, Emmy number two. Very grateful because I don't know if I'll have another chance because that was for my work in TV. So they don't do them for websites, or at least Gamecock Central is not qualified or
well, don't I know? Eligible. I'd have hundreds of those bad boys if websites and radios.
Funny, man. Yeah. I'll tell you what though. I mean, it's very neat because, you know, fortunate to win it last year. I'm glad he brought it up, but it's the thing that's neat about it is, you know, winning it with people that are directors, people behind the scenes, you know. So my director, Alex Jones, it was his first Emmy. So, you know, just seeing how excited he was, it's definitely a tremendous opportunity just to be able to be part of that. And you witness that. So, was very happy for him. And the neat thing too, Swanee, was because of COVID the last 2 years, they didn't have it in person. So they had the event in person. You got to experience everything of going up on stage, praying to God you don't trip when you're walking up the stage, so you're not that person in the after party everyone's talking about. And, you know, the neat thing was, I mean, as we talk here today, this is the 4-year anniversary of my grandfather and my namesake, Mike Yuba, passing away. And, you know, the event was held 4 days before the 4-year anniversary of him passing away. And it was the 4th year that I've been nominated for an Emmy. And they held a mass room back in Massachusetts that night. And then last year, when I won my first one, that was the 3rd year I got nominated, 3 days before the 3-year anniversary of him passing away, they also held a mass that night. I won my first Emmy. So big believer in everything happens for a reason. Was very special, though, to be able to honor him on Saturday night.
Man, that is really, really cool, man. What a story. Mike Yuba, again, he's on Twitter, @Mike_UVA. Go follow him over there. And, Mike, I know last week we kind of touched on the recruiting front for South Carolina, and obviously Tiger fans are keeping up with their eyes wide open at what's going on at Clemson. When you look at what South Carolina's doing, though, I mean, at what point, okay, is it fair to say, as a fan of South Carolina football, this is the year we're going to truly compete against Clemson? Is it this season in your mind in Tigertown, given the rosters, or are they still a recruiting class or two out from being much more competitive against Dabo Swinney's program?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I saw something floating around on social media earlier today. And it may have been on one of our message boards over at Gamecock Central. Clemson, with them winning the last 7, what would be the best year for South Carolina to be able to prevent losing 10 in a row over the next couple seasons? So I bring that up because when you look at what South Carolina has done this offseason, you look at it from a talent standpoint. People can say what they will about Spencer Rattler. The guy's talented. There's no question about that. I mean, there's no question about it. He's going to be coming in here and he'll, you know, have an opportunity to prove himself. I mean, the guy was going into last season, he was considered a Heisman front runner. And
right.
Then, of course, he lost out to a guy who, you know, if anyone followed high school football, they knew Caleb Williams was the second coming, or at least that's the way they anointed him. And, you know, Rattler, based on his statistics, and I understand it's a smaller sample size, I think he started 6 games or so last season, completion percentage would have been number 1 in the country last year. His quarterback rating would have been tied for 5th in the SEC last year. In comparison to what USC had out of their 4 starting quarterbacks, you could put DeCarion Joyner to the side because, I mean, he was perfect in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and that's the only game that he started. The other 3 quarterbacks, I mean, that would have blown them out of the water statistically in comparison. So for South Carolina, they are in a better spot talent-wise at certain positions, and it certainly starts with quarterback. But I think the challenging part is, are they going to be able to take advantage of that when Clemson is still a very good team? Obviously, there's a lot of speculation as to, you know, what's going to happen with Clemson over the next couple of years. You lose your, you know, your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, is Dabo Sweeney out of touch? Now, I'm not saying this is exactly how Clemson fans feel, but this is how I can tell you
the Gamecock Central message boards have been, and some of the people I've talked to throughout college football, there's a lot of eyeballs and question marks on Clemson, rightfully so. But I still don't think that this is okay. Clemson has fallen off a cliff by any means. So as good as South Carolina could be this year, it's still going to be very difficult to beat a Clemson team who is still one of the top teams, in my opinion, in the country.
He is Mike Uva. He is on Twitter at Mike_UVA, giving you great insight into the South Carolina program. So, Mike, with that being said, we talked a lot about Rattler. What do the wide receivers look like for him? Because as everybody knows, Clemson this past year, even given how good the wideouts have been, I mean, there were a lot of drops. There were a lot of injuries. What's South Carolina look like depth-wise and talent-wise at wideout?
Well, I mean, let's just go back a year ago. Last season, there was so much buzz about how South Carolina had basically, I mean, let's just put it in simple terms, the wide receiver room stunk. And the receivers, all the way up to the receivers coach, Justin Stepp, they all heard that. They all understood that. They exceeded the expectations of the wide receiver room last year, based on what people had said about them. The year prior, they just didn't have a lot of production whatsoever. I mean, we know over the last 5-10 years what South Carolina has been able to do from a talent standpoint and the NFL stars that they have been able to produce. The issue is there hasn't been that consistency outside of one player really shining, and until that guy leaves. You know, when Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards was there, it wasn't like they were both putting up incredible numbers at the same time. It was one guy was doing something good, and the other guy was kind of in the background as like a background singer. So For USC, they have talented guys. I mean, for me, when I look at it, a guy that I've been extremely high on and was very impressed with what he did in the spring game is a newcomer from an FCS school, James Madison, who got bumped up now to this year. They're going to be FBS. But Antoine Wells Jr., I mean, this guy is in the record books, like top three for reception, receiving yards, and touchdowns. And he was only there for, I'd say, a year and a half because that other season was the COVID season. So they only played about 7 games or so. So
gotcha.
He is a guy that is absolutely electric. The interesting thing is going to be, where do they put Tekarion Joyner? That's something to keep an eye on. But I like what they have. Josh Vann's obviously a very talented wide receiver. He's coming back. He's motivated after having the birth of his daughter going into the bowl game, or this past season, I should say. And then, you know, you have a guy like Jaheim Bell who plays tight end, but he's such a freakish athlete. They're going to detach him a lot. They're going to use him as a receiver as well. So, you know, the room right now, Swanee, it is better than it has been in quite some time, talking from a depth standpoint, but there's still like this, okay, are they going to be able to prove they can be consistent? I know some Gamecock fans are upset. Bell didn't get maybe some of the preseason accolades for some of these, you know, the Phil Steele of the world. I understand that, but can they be consistent and carry it over into this season? I think a lot of people are wondering that.
Mike, safe to say, we only got about 2 minutes left. Safe to say, Tekarion Joyner is the biggest fan favorite maybe on that team, just kind of given his career.
Oh, yeah, certainly right now. I mean, if Rattler is able to go out and beat Georgia week 3, I think you might see a Rattler statue go up a week later.
I think it's hard.
I'm sure there's Clemson fans that feel the same way about Tekarion Joyner. It's so difficult not to just appreciate
you
what
have to root
done.
For him. Yeah, you have to root for him.
You know, it's just a good story. It's a good story. Could have transferred out, gone somewhere else. He stayed the course, and then he put up a phenomenal game against North Carolina. And you talk about NIL, he's been able to reap the benefits the way I think a lot of, you know, lawmakers looked at NIL and were hoping it would go that way. He's been able to take advantage of that. So I don't know what's going to happen with him ultimately this season, how they're going to use him. I can tell you right now, though, going into the season, he will be in the wide receivers room.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Mike Yuva on Twitter at Mike_UVA. Gamecocks, Tigers, Bulldogs, Yellow Jackets, Seminoles. Go follow him right now. He's here every Tuesday. Mike, buddy, always appreciate you, my man.
Well, I appreciate it, 20. Thank you.
There he is, Mike Yuva. 803-450-0086. All right, we are up against a break. So yesterday we talked about the LIV Golf Series. We talked about the PGA. Well, more big news on that front as another major champion is taking his talents to the LIV Tour. We'll tell you who when we get back here on the show that shakes the Southland. Plus, briefly here, some news. Rob Gronkowski giving it up. He's hanging it up again. We'll hit a break. We'll come back. We'll update you on some golf stories next. Back at it on a Tuesday afternoon, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. So yesterday we came out of the gates with a pretty extensive conversation about LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. And, you know, one of the things that I've kind of stayed away from as it pertains to this tour is the Saudi backing of it. And that's a part of the problem that a lot of people have with it. But if we're just going to talk about on the surface about these two leagues, I've given you my thoughts at length. Now, today news came out that Brooks Koepka will be leaving the PGA Tour to join LIV Golf. And it's ironic that Koepka's doing this because over the weekend at the U.S. Open, Koepka was frustrated about being asked about the LIV Tour. And now he is going to be headed that way to play golf. 54 holes, one of the former number one players in the world. Big money available to these guys. Some people have said, look, it is a money grab. It is greed at its highest form. Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed. And again, today the news that Brooks Koepka is expected to join the tour. I said that it reminded me of some of the upstart wrestling groups. But you know what? In retrospect and thinking back a little bit more on it, I think it reminds me more of when the WCW went out and got Hulk Hogan, got Hall and Nash, went in and decided, okay, we're going to go after the WWE by going right to their heart and taking some of their biggest names and bringing them over to WCW.
Today, woo, I've got the style and profile like never before.
And when that happened, if you think about the Monday Night War, so to speak, the ratings war between Raw and Nitro, Nitro eventually took the reins and took the lead only to succumb to, I think, poor leadership, quite frankly, and bad writing. But the WWE began creating fresher new talent. Guys like Stone Cold, The Rock, and a younger generation began to move in. And I think the thing that the PGA Tour still has to worry about is, as I said here yesterday, I do believe that this will allow more stars to be created in the golfing world. And that is a positive for golf. That's a positive for the sport of golf that, quite frankly, in a lot of places has dried up. You don't see as many kids playing as you once did. It's an expensive game that takes a long time to play. And in an era of TikTok videos, a lot of kids don't have the stamina to go out there on the course for 3.5-4 hours and play a full round. But this, the money, the interest, remember how poker became popular on ESPN and other networks? What made it work? What made poker work? I'm gonna give you some think time here. Because I remember poker prior to it really taking off. What made poker work was the fact that when the World Series of Poker came out on ESPN, they introduced, I think they called it like the rabbit cam, where you could see the cards and you knew who was winning hands. And that, to me, is what truly changed the game. It was a technological advancement that allowed you to see their whole cards, to know who was bluffing, who was potentially playing on tilt. And when you got that additional information, it made poker a better viewing experience. I think LIV Golf is destined to make golf a better viewing experience. I don't know what they'll do to make it different, but I feel certain that they will continue to make the sport that so many of you love better. And if you take the concerns about the Saudi government and the backing and the money and everything out of your evaluation of LIV Golf, and you just talk about it as a product, this should undoubtedly enhance the PGA Tour, and it would be my hope that at some point along the way, the things that they are doing in the LIV Tour will be adopted by the PGA Tour and then potentially stem the tide of guys who leave to go play in the LIV Tour. And you'll never, money, all of that can never replace the value of putting on a green jacket. That's still going to entice a large percentage of people. Winning these major tournaments is going to entice great players. And so for however long LIV lasts, it will be a threat, but I don't think that it will ever become greater than the PGA Tour, because the PGA Tour can simply adopt the ideas that LIV Golf creates to enhance their brand and continue to be competitive in that market and still be the biggest and most notable brand, maybe without the biggest and most notable names. All right, we'll hit a quick break. We'll come back with more here on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, coming up in hour number two, we'll be joined by Clemson University Director of Athletics, Graham Neff. Stay with us. Happy Tuesday. Follow the show on Twitter at Clemson Sports, 4 to 6 each and every afternoon. Don't forget Teddy Hefner from 9 until noon, talking sports on Fox Sports Radio 1400, also available on the iHeart Radio app. All right, so we kind of have a connection to wrestling from the last segment, but we did have a couple of passings in the wrestling industry over the weekend, two former officials, Tim White, who maybe his face is familiar, but if you watch the documentary on Andre the Giant, you'll know that Tim was sort of Andre's handler, his best buddy, his travel partner, his companion. He could tell unbelievable stories about the big fella. Tim White passing away at the age of 68. And then also the loss of Dave Hebner. Dave and his twin brother Earl had one of the most iconic moments in wrestling history, I thought, especially as a kid, because Saturday night's main event was a program that felt so special. I mean, it just felt so special because it was WWE. Look, if you live where we live, you know, if you live where I live, I should say, growing up, you got TBS, which gave you pretty much all of the NWA, what would eventually become WCW. And then maybe USA Network would have some WWE on it. Like, you'd have to find WWE. It was all over the place. Well, Dave Hebner, who passed away at the age of 73, he and his brother were involved in one of the most incredible moments in the history of wrestling. And for me, maybe, so I think about moments in my wrestling life. I'll never forget watching Piper's Pit when Andre the Giant came out and ripped Hulk Hogan's shirt off and his necklace, his crucifix. And in that moment, it was like, wow, two of your heroes going toe-to-toe, because there had been a cartoon called Rockin' Wrestling, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, and you know, Andre and Hulk were partners and buddies and good guys, and they were always going up against the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff and the Fabulous Moolah, who, by the way, local legend, Fabulous Moolah. But in this Saturday night's main event, after WrestleMania III, after Hogan had already defeated Andre, February 5th, 1988, there is a match between Hogan and Andre. Andre falls on Hogan, goes for the pin. Hogan gets his shoulder up clearly. 1, 2, 3 count. Ring the bell. Match is over. And Vince McMahon and I don't know if it was Bobby the Brain Heenan or Ventura. I'm not sure who was on the call with him, but nonetheless, they're going back and forth about the situation that just unfolded. I think it was Jesse the Body. And he's telling him, he's saying something like, McMahon, don't you ever question me again. And all of a sudden, Earl Hebner sprints into the ring. And you see that there's twins. And I can remember one of the announcers, I think it was Vince McMahon, says, how much did the $1 million man pay for the facial, you know, reconstruction surgery to make this? It was a twin swap, and it was awesome. Dave was the referee in that match. Earl was the guy who came running in. So Dave played the role of the heel, so to speak, and was in cahoots. And honestly, up until that time, I don't know that I knew there was a Dave and or an Earl Hebner. I had seen one. Maybe I had seen both. Here's what it sounded like from Saturday night's main event.
Referee Dave Hebner made his decision. He's standing by it. And we have a new World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion.
What's going on in the ring? What is going on in the ring? Wait a minute. Is that Dave Hebner? Or is that Dave Hebner?
How could there be two Dave Hebners?
Look at these guys.
Wait a minute.
They look just alike. They look just alike.
The guy on the right's Hebner, isn't it?
The guy on the left is Hebner.
Wait, though. The guy on the right is.
Wait a minute. The Hulkster's coming over to figure out which the official referee assigned was a man by the name of Dave Hebner. I can't believe we're looking at two Dave Hebners. What's going on here?
There's two
Come
Dave
on, Hebners. Jesse. What's going on? The Hulkster's trying to find out who the real Dave Hebner is.
What an awesome moment. And Hogan staring them down. And more than maybe any time in their life, they were physically, they looked so much alike. What an awesome moment. I can remember, talking about wrestling, I can remember going to the video house. That's like the Barnwell Blockbuster. Go to the video house and renting WrestleMania 3 and watching that over and over. You had the match with Andre and Hogan. That also had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus the Macho Man Randy Savage in that long match that was simply incredible.
I think that your time is done, and I think that the spotlight should go on top of me. Yeah.
Yep. WWE throwback. That I used to have the network. I probably should get it again. I'll tell you what. Text me. I just told you that moment with the Hebners was iconic. Text me some of your most iconic wrestling memories. And if we can't work them into the program today, we'll bring them up on tomorrow's program as well. I am more than happy to oblige you to walk down the wrestling memory lane. Stay with us. Rocking and rolling along with you here on the program today, Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swann. So we don't talk Deshaun Watson much on the program at this point. I'm anxious for his lawsuits and everything to be cleared up, whatever happens, whatever consequence, and then ultimately excited to finally get to see him play again. Because as I said about a week or two ago, I mean, he was becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Well, his attorney, Tony Busby, says 20 of the 24 lawsuits filed against him have been settled. Since March 16th, 2021, 25 lawsuits have been filed against Deshaun Watson. And of those 25, one was dropped by the plaintiff when the judge ruled her petition had to be amended with her name. The other 20 have been settled, according to Watson's attorney. Now, the bigger question for Deshaun becomes, will he be granted the ability or, you know, the right to play this season after having been out all last year as well? I have no idea what that'll look like. As for the NFL, Trevor Lawrence, though, former Clemson Tiger, and it's strange because you've got one kid brand new to the league. The other was a rising star before these allegations took place. And Trevor Lawrence, according to The Athletic, was named one of their breakout players in 2022. They said the breakout candidates at the most important position in sports is essentially a pick'em amongst the second-year crop. But Big Trev, the giant killer, might be ready to emerge with Doug Peterson there taking over as the head coach. Obviously, the return of Travis Etienne, getting him in the backfield to help out, catch the ball out of the backfield. The article says a steadier franchise situation with Doug Peterson as the head coach provides reason to be optimistic about Lawrence's continued development. And even as a rookie, he showed promising glimpses as a processor while making his teammates better. Those positive plays should become more consistent for the Jaguars, who desperately need good vibes. And boy, I'll tell you what, give me all that and more when it comes down to Trevor Lawrence. I knew, and I don't get a lot right, but I knew watching film of Trevor Lawrence in high school that he was not just going to be a guy that was going to make it to the NFL, but I said here on the program, before he arrived at Clemson, you could find the tapes if you want. I said here on the program, he was going to be the first pick in the NFL draft, and he was.
You were serious about that?
Of course. I don't say anything I'm not serious about here on the program. But the fact is, this year could be a breakout year for Trevor Lawrence and a confidence-boosting year for him, because I can't imagine...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Given everything surrounding him last year, he's 21 years old. I mean, now he's 22. I'm saying last year, he's 21 years old, and he's starting his career in the NFL, and it's pretty obvious that things are not going swimmingly under the tutelage of Urban Meyer. And Urban's focus on everything except for football was a huge deal. As a matter of fact, talking about Trevor Lawrence's focus, one of the things that he is also more well suited for or projected for this year is, of course, the potential stats he could put up in the in fantasy leagues. And I don't play a ton of fantasy football. But if you're looking for a breakout quarterback, some people feel that he is the guy. And here's a couple of things about Trevor that you got to recognize. Number one, first and foremost, as long as he's healthy, he's going to play a lot of snaps. Rarely are they going to be ahead, which means playing from behind, probably going to be throwing the football a lot. And if they have some semblance of success, you know his confidence is going to improve. He'll play at a faster pace. And with that being a part of his development, one would believe he's going to put up good numbers. And I quite frankly can't wait to watch it. Love watching Trevor Lawrence play. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. 803-450-0086. One other weird story here on Trevor Lawrence, kind of. Mabry Matower, 2024 quarterback, 6'6", 225 pounds. Looks so much like Trevor Lawrence, it is bizarre. I'll tweet it. Go check it out on Twitter at Clemson Sports. That's Clemson news, notes, information, and more 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But this young man looks so much like Trevor Lawrence in some photos. It's strange. I would say almost uncomfortably strange. And given the fact that he is a four-star quarterback, you're probably going to see him on the field. I know he was up at North Carolina. You'll probably see him at some point. Maybe in Tigertown. Who knows? All right, with a break. Hour two, Graham Neff joins the program. Stay with us.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set,
just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
It is hour number two. That's drive time right here on the show that shakes the Southland Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you. And joining us now on the guest line, he is Clemson University Director of Athletics, Graham Neff. And Graham, thank you for joining us. Give us some of the insight into the nuances of hiring Clemson's new head coach, Eric Backich.
Yeah, no doubt, Lawton. Awesome week for Clemson baseball and Clemson athletics and Clemson University, and so happy to dive into all the details.
You know, first and foremost, I think people wonder, okay, is there always a file of names for the athletic director kind of getting into that role? Like, is that one of the things DRAD tells you on the way out? It's like, look, you need a list. You got to have a backup baseball coaches. You got to have, you know, I mean, how does that search kind of come together? I mean, is there a file?
So the proverbial list in the right-hand drawer, you know, I don't know that I literally have that, or at least had that in baseball. But, it is our job, my job, to have a really heavy ear to the ground and just eye and sense of the landscape and who's doing well out there. And you know, you think through things all the time. And so, you know, by no means do we have that level of specific preparedness for any of our 16 head coaches, but you know, have to be very attuned to it. And then obviously as you get into seasons and are tracking things and tracking your program, you know, very, very, a lot of due diligence that comes into it, a whole lot more than just the past 15 days that we had a baseball coach search. So had names, had thoughts. Eric Backich had been on my list, so to speak, again, literally or not, you know, on my mind, certainly 4 years, to be quite frank. And so it was one of those that once you are approaching a decision and then ultimately, you know, are in a search process, are very well prepared. It's usually not a fresh start unless there was a unique transition because of a leaving or a circumstance of a firing, but that certainly wasn't the case here.
He's on Twitter at Graham Neff, again, Clemson's athletic director, joining us here today. So there is loyalty, allegiance, whatever you want to call it, to coaching staffs and those that, you know, felt like, okay, Monty Lee was a game away from maybe still being in that seat. What would you say to those fans listening to the program today that, you know, kind of feel like, hey, if you win one at the ACC tournament, you're in the NCAA tournament most likely? I mean, is that the difference? I mean, we talk about razor-thin margins. Is that potentially the difference here?
Well, you took the word or the phrase out of my mouth, Lawton, razor-thin, and most sports it is, you know, and 10-3 is a struggle in football, and whereas 13-0 is really, really hard. And that's just the difference of a couple plays here and there, at least for Clemson this past fall. And right. And a lot of sports is like that. In baseball, you know, perhaps even more so, just because you can get so hot so quick. And we're living it right now. We're here kind of in middle of the week of Omaha. And Ole Miss, who was the last, you know, by all measures, yeah, I think even, gosh, the selection committee, as they ranked them, said it, Ole Miss was the last team in for the NCAA tournament in baseball. And very controversially at that, I might add. And dudes haven't lost, and they're in the driver's seat, you know, to get to the National Championship Series in Omaha. And so baseball, I feel like, is much or more than a lot of other sports where you can just get hot, right? Whether that's college baseball, we see it in MLB and things like that. And so, yeah, that just happens. But I think that there's – you look at the totality and the book of business, so to speak, with where the program was at and maybe the trajectory where we're headed. And so, yeah, for this year, for this resume, so to speak, whether it was razor thin, whether it was a game here or there, or ACC tournament or not, you know, not sure. Obviously, we were on the wrong side of it, but the totality of the evaluation and the comprehensive review of that is certainly how you have to take two steps back and then look to evaluate and make decisions. And so that's what we did. And obviously, with Monty and Coach, you know, Coach Lee, just such a first-class person, first of all, and let alone, you know, coach and how he's led the program for 7 years. And so just makes that type of decision that much more difficult when it's a coach that has approached it the way that Monty has for 7 years, let alone his professional career. But that to be said, you know, we did chart a new course and couldn't be more excited of where we landed with Coach Backich.
Eric Backich taking over the job again, spent time at Michigan 10 years, went to the national championship game back in 2019. And I found it interesting. He said in an interview I was listening to recently, and I guess this is kind of piggybacking off of what we just mentioned. He was asked about rebuilding the program. He said, oh, no, this is not a rebuild. This program's ready to go, and he's got high expectations. I mean, when was the first moment when you sat down with him that you thought, okay, he's kind of got the it factor that we're looking for?
So a couple of key moments throughout that I'll touch on and happy to share. Like I said, though, that Backich was a name on the list for years, and obviously with his original ties here to Clemson, uniquely just positioned, let alone what he's achieved throughout all of his stops and taking Michigan to the national championship game. A couple of things with Eric, his unique profile, not in a couple sense, his resume, so to speak, and his experiences. So he's a younger coach by and large. He's 44, but he's been a head coach for 13 years. He was first the head coach at Maryland when Maryland was in the ACC when he was 31. And so really unique profile in the sense that significant experience, significant kind of program building at Maryland, at Michigan, and he's been a head coach for 13 years, and he you know, was the assistant coach for one of the best in the business, Tim Corbin, let alone got to start with Jack Leggett. And so
right.
that resume of his is really unique in the sense of what's on there and what he's the level of experience he has, while also being, you know, again, a younger dude, kind of rising star, whatever you want to call it. So that's a unique kind of profile. Secondly, and this is maybe more to your question.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, his, and we'll see this as he starts to build and run the program, he's got a lot of old school tendencies in him on the fundamentals, development. He talks on, hey, we're going to start each practice day in the classroom and talk on instructional-based baseball development. So that those new school tendencies that he probably learned from Corbin and somewhat of Leggett, and just as he's kind of come up in the business. But new school aspects of it, very heavy on data, tech, kind of body movement mechanics. He's actually an original kind of exercise science and strength coach. So big on the body movement and mechanics side of things. And so some of the old school with new school kind of approach to how he's going to develop ball players and run Clemson baseball, I think was really compelling and just jumps out, kind of to answer your question, jumped out really early of his approach and cerebral approach to being the CEO of Clemson baseball and running a program. So throughout the conversations that he and I had and our search committee had over the past couple of weeks, very, very early jumped out, not only understanding his resume and skill set, but that also, gosh, this is a unique baseball mind here and baseball leader that could really, really fit here at Clemson.
Again, Graham Neff, Clemson University Director of Athletics, with us here on the program today. So, Graham, a number that maybe there's a portion of the fan base, maybe they're not hardcore baseball fans, don't quite understand, 11.7. In this NIL era, is there any way that, and again, I know Clemson University, you guys can't technically do it, but do you foresee some kind of NIL at some point helping out with scholarships and things of that nature to, you know, compete with some programs who maybe don't have to follow said limits?
Right. Great question and topic. I'll answer it in a couple different areas, maybe, because it is really important. It's really critical. And as we were going through and talking and recruiting coaches just so they can understand the circumstance and how we can compete. So a couple things. 11.7, yes, that is the NCAA maximum limit of baseball scholarships you can distribute, and that's what Clemson is limited to, as is Virginia and Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech, whomever. So that's the NCAA limit. Now, that may change down the road in the not-too-distant future, where there might be some deregulation, in which case schools may be able to offer more scholarships for various sports and basically, hey, invest how you want. That's not here and now, but that's a little bit on the horizon maybe. So that's one thing for a future state. Right. Current state, NIL, you reference it, and that's a whole nother topic that maybe that's for a different show. But yeah, NIL certainly it's dollars and how the athletic departments or communities are able to provide resources or facilitate deals, things like that for student athletes. Baseball is a really important one because of, you know, limited scholarships, and so a lot of the student athletes are out of pocket, and so any NIL dollars help to offset the tuition expense that student athletes have. So NIL is another chapter and certainly part of it. But what I want to really focus on is things that we can do and we have built here at Clemson administratively to support that 11.7. And so it's not adding to the 11.7, but the way we talk about it is 11.7 stretchers. And so things like the state scholarship, and that's not a new thing, and that's been in effect for years, and it's kind of academically based, but those are real dollars and those can be achieved. And so for in-state students that we recruit or Coach Backich would recruit, those are dollars that help stretch the 11.7, so to speak. It's not more scholarship of the 11.7. It's just obviously additional stacked scholarship on top of the athletic scholarship. So that's been in effect for a while. Here's a couple of the new things that we have done here at Clemson Athletics for baseball just over the past really semester. One is what's called the Alston dollars. And so it was a Supreme Court case that happened last summer that makes it permissible for universities to provide up to $6,000 each year to all your student athletes. And it's permissible. You don't have to, and it does not count against your 11.7, but it's additional dollars. We've taken a very aggressive approach with that we started. We were one of the first schools to announce to start that. So that actually started this past spring semester. And we've been very aggressive with it in the sense of, regardless of what percent scholarship you're on, if you're a baseball player and you're on 25% scholarship, you can earn the $6,000. So there's a lot of nuances in it, but that's an 11.7 stretcher that we've been aggressive with to help provide dollars to student athletes. Summer school, we've fully funded summer school, so that's available for baseball student athletes that they can take classes in the summer. I know a lot of them play in the Cape and things like that, but there's those type of things that really stretch the 11.7. Academic common market is another thing. So there's plenty of tools in the toolbox, again, that haven't always been there for Clemson baseball, but we've taken strategic steps here over this semester to really add more of those resources for Coach Backich and staff to stretch those 11.7 scholarships.
Well, it will be interesting to see, you know, how all of this shakes out with that. And for people that don't know, there are schools because of their circumstances. I would say Vanderbilt is one, right? Vanderbilt's one of the schools that can kind of get past the 11.7, I believe, being a private institution. So there's a lot of advantages that they have that now Clemson trying to, you know, close that gap, so to speak, in terms of recruiting. And again, we're talking with Clemson University Director of Athletics, Graham Neff. So Graham, let's shift gears a little bit. And I know I would get into when you expect Coach Backich to finalize his coaching staff, but you may not have the exact timeline on that. Let's talk a little college football, and maybe more importantly for Clemson Tiger fans, the updated ambiance of Death Valley. How are things progressing as we close in on the college football season?
Ambiance, wow, that's a good word. I will say, Lawton, to your pseudo question, for the staff, we're here on Tuesday the 21st, sometime this week. You know, he's got a handful of spots to fill out, obviously his pitching coach, hitting coach. So we should hopefully have those announced here in the next couple of days, maybe by end of the week, and then some of those other support staff roles. So he's moving and moving quick. So we'll be able to roll those out here, I think, in short order. Ambiance of the Valley. So yes, the scoreboard, the video board is going up. For those of you that have seen pictures, and there's the steel and the superstructure. So you're able to get a great sense of the order of magnitude of the new video board over the hill. It's going to be really, really slick. In addition, not only the video board over the hill, but replacing the ribbon boards, we call them, on the north and south side of the upper decks, the boards on the west zone as well. And we're redoing, redesigning, so to speak, the Ring of Honor and the National Championship and ACC Division years on the facades of the North and South Deck. So a little bit of just that cosmetic upgrades there. The new Masters Club, which is the third level on the West Zone, that'll be online this fall as well. Seats 650 club members, very similar to the West Zone and the South Club, et cetera. So that big project, that big component of those projects, will be done this September 10th for the Furman game. I keep telling our staff that, you know, it's not an if, but it's a win. You know, we have fought some of the logistics and supply chain issues that so many of us have fought socially and globally and with construction projects or otherwise. But we'll be ready. It might be paint drying on Friday night before the Furman football game, but we'll be ready this fall. And then lastly, there is a second phase to this project for the Valley that will be ready for the 23 season. So not this year, but next year, which would really be focused on the football locker room and recruiting areas on game days there at the bottom of the West Zone. But then also, and importantly, the Tiger Walk and really Lot 5 and the tailgating scene in Lot 5 and then Tiger Walk, which is just such a special part of game days here at Clemson. And so really reorienting the Tiger Walk and having it even more fan-friendly and viewable for that experience pregame on Saturdays.
I tell you what, the changes at Death Valley since I was a student and where it is today, I mean, it is unbelievable. Graham, again, we certainly appreciate your time. Thank you so much for sharing your insight, not only into the hiring of Eric Bakich, but also the developments over at Death Valley. And we look forward to having you back on. And you know what? I thought about this while you were talking about game day atmosphere and stuff. I mean, your game days are going to be quite different now, I would say, to a degree, doing a little more entertaining of, Tiger contributors, so to speak, and dotting the I and doing all that. I mean, you're going to have a different game day schedule.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I've thought about it a bit. I haven't quite gotten to it, but you're right. It'll be a little bit of a different cadence. I certainly would make my rounds and be a little bit of everywhere on Saturdays in my prior role, but it'll just hit different. There'll probably be different needs and priorities from my chair for this fall. So I couldn't be more excited about it. I feel like once we turn the chapter to the fall, that'll start to really hit home. And obviously the 7 Saturdays this fall will be incredible. So we're getting there. We're in the dog days right now, right? And obviously Clemson baseball is in a great spot. I think a lot of really, really positive energy there. So I'm excited for Coach Bakich to get settled and start making his moves. And before we know it, it'll be fall sports and soccer and volleyball and importantly, Tiger football. So can't wait, Lawton. Really, really appreciate you having me on.
Follow him on Twitter at Graham Neff. Graham, man, we'll talk to you soon.
Be well. Talk to you. Bye.
There you go, a little inside look at the hiring of Coach Eric Bakich again here in hour number 2. Now, for those of you that are joining us late and or you missed some of this interview, remember I said yesterday we're going to have a little bit of a retrospective, so to speak. This interview will run in hour 1 on Friday. So put that down, top of the hour on Friday. You'll be able to hear this interview again in its entire capacity. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line, your thoughts on what Graham Neff had to say. And, you know, I think that the situation at Clemson is a tough one. And I said this yesterday because there were fans that were loyal, and there's nothing wrong with loyalty. It's a great trait. But there were fans that were loyal to Jack Leggett that were disappointed when his tenure ended. And I believe that there's a portion of those fans that never bought into supporting fully Monty Lee. Well, now, flash forward, the hire of Eric Backich is a protege. And again, I use that term loosely with Backich for this reason. It's not as if he spent 10 years under Jack Leggett, but he comes from that Leggett tree by way of Tim Corbin. And that connection back, and I think Graham pointed something out too that's important. He's a young head coach. He's younger than Monty Lee, just by a year. But he was the youngest coach in the Power Five and took over that Maryland program, as Graham Neff said, when he was 31. And so 3 years at Maryland, 10 years at Michigan. This is a guy that arrives with 13 years of experience coaching at the highest level in baseball. Monty Lee, you'll recall, arrived at Clemson with coaching experience at College of Charleston. And not to be dismissive of coaching experience at the College of Charleston, but Backich does arrive with more experience at this level than Monty Lee did. And so the hope is that the connections back to maybe Clemson's past, the connections to Tim Corbin, who has had great success at Vanderbilt, will now pay off for your Clemson Tigers. 803-450-0086. If you want to react to that interview, we'll hit a quick break and we'll bounce back with an update from the College World Series right after this. Back at it. Awesome. Getting a chance to hear from Graham Neff on a Tuesday afternoon. All right. Omaha. Peyton Manning style. Saw this tweet a few minutes ago. Well, earlier today, I should say, from Brian Hennessy. He said 46 teams have won their first two games in Omaha under this format, which started back in 1999. 8 of the 46 teams, 17.4%, did so after not playing a home NCAA tournament game. Only 2 teams did it in the first 17 years, from 1999 to 2015, and 6 teams have done it in the last 6 full seasons. Oklahoma and Ole Miss currently in the driver's seat out in Omaha. All O's there. Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Omaha. Both of those teams starting 2-0 out at the College World Series. And the first time that's happened since this format has been introduced. So that's sort of where we are right now with the College World Series. The Sooners and the Rebels are in the driver's seat. They're not quite in the clubhouse, but they are certainly waiting to see who approaches them. Matchups today, dare I say, to keep the wrestling references going here, these are loser leaves town matches. As Notre Dame and Texas A&M are facing off this afternoon. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, as soon as we go off the air, roughly after we go off the air, Arkansas and Auburn in an elimination game. Remember, no matter what happened last night, an Ole Miss walloped Arkansas 13-5. The SEC is guaranteed one half of the bracket. The bottom half belongs to the SEC. As Ole Miss awaits the winner of Arkansas and Auburn, and Oklahoma awaits the winner of Notre Dame, Texas A&M. That's what the College World Series currently looks like. 803-450-0086. Talk with Graham Neff about the Clemson baseball program. I'll say this. It's been so long since Clemson's been in the College World Series, that I think the excitement around them getting in would be immense. I mean, I just think that that kind of news would be so welcome amongst the Clemson community. I know that some of my buddies went out there last time around, and it's a trek that many people want to make, even though they don't play at old Rosenblatt Stadium anymore. It's still, you know, something about Omaha and baseball is iconic. It's the reason that Clemson embroiders Omaha on the back of their hats. And look, you know where I stand on this. I stood there when Jack Leggett was the coach. I'll stand there when Monty Lee was the coach. And I'll stay there today when Eric Backich is the coach. I don't like Omaha being on the back of the hats. To me, and this is going to be weird, it's presumptuous. It's assuming. It can almost feel like counting your chickens before they hatch. In my entire life, I've been told, don't count your chickens before they hatch. And the fact that you had this 12-year gap, to me, I think it's time to take it off. Or at least, I'll say this, okay? Like, I think it can be done without being, I don't know the other, I mean, any other word for it, presumptuous. I think it can be done if you were to put, say, the number of times you've been to Omaha on the hat. So you want to put the tiger logo, the paw, excuse me, and then you want to put 12 trips and then Omaha on the bottom. I'm okay with that. I don't like Omaha on the back of the hat. I've never liked it, and I think that if Dabo Swinney and the Clemson football team put college football playoff on the back of their helmets, you guys would go, why are we doing that? Or if Brad Brownell and the team stitched Final Four on the back of their jerseys. I don't like it. I don't even know, you know, I don't even know when it started. Let's see. I'll tell you what, Thursday, Tim Bray. Find out if he knows when Clemson began putting Omaha on their baseball hats. Caps, excuse me. Is that right? Caps? All you baseball fans? I don't know when Clemson put it on there, but I know this. I don't like it. I don't like it. I think it's bad luck, quite frankly. And you know what I'd like to see? Strip it off of the hat and say, guys, you got to earn it. We'll put Omaha, I like this, we'll put Omaha on the backs of the hats of players who have been to Omaha. So, sort of a badge. So, if you're a new kid, you might not have one. If you've never been, if you go 5 years, nobody on your program is going to have one. Make it kind of like the captain's logo. You know, make it something you earn. Man, you got Omaha on your cap. Man, what was that trip like? Dude, I was a freshman. It was incredible. We got to get back. Just putting it on there willy-nilly. Not for Swanee. I don't like it at all. Do not like it at all. 803-450-0086. We'll hit a quick break. Follow the show on Twitter at Clemson Sports. Little update from the NHL for you. Plus, more Bozo the Clowns continue to come after me because I'm not in favor of putting exotic cars on the field. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Tuesday afternoon, and you know, it's funny. I somehow loaded the wrong audio for you, so you got a little retrospective back to the season a little bit ago. So apologies, wrong clicked the button. All right, real quick, couple of things to clean up for you. All right, so earlier I said I was going to mention hockey, did not get to last night though. The Lightning struck back, so to speak, winning 6-2, narrowing the series to 2-1 between them and Colorado tomorrow, 8 o'clock ABC, game 4. All right, that's enough of that. I was talking recruiting, so I want to stick with this for a minute because a couple of big things have happened. I've been critical of Louisville, but maybe the recruiting is working out. Reuben Owens II, the number 2 rated running back in the class of 2023, committed to the Louisville Cardinals yesterday afternoon after we went off the air. Reuben Owens, who is a 4-star prospect out of El Campo, Texas, committed to Louisville over Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, Florida, Georgia. Did not have, by the way, an offer from Clemson, just FYI. Now, some other names out there that have committed as of late. Brandon Ennis, one of the top wideouts, top 2 wideouts in the 2023 recruiting class, committed to the Ohio State Buckeyes earlier today. And again, he is one of the top wide receivers, a 5-star wideout from American Heritage High School down in the state of Florida, 6 foot, 190 pounds, and a good friend of Nathaniel Joseph. We'll see what happens with Joseph's recruiting on that front. I know this, Ennis was excited when Joseph decommitted from Clemson. Speaking of commitments, the Georgia Bulldogs also roped in another top prospect as A.J. Harris, committed to the Bulldogs, a 4-star prospect out of Phenix City, Alabama, Central High School. If that sounds familiar, it should. Justin Ross, E.J. Williams, Ray Thornton, all former players there at Central High School under Jamie Dubose. Well, A.J. Harris will be a Bulldog. And final little news note here, not necessarily on the recruiting front, but I did see this out of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Boston College's offensive lineman, Christian Mahogany, one of the top offensive linemen in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I believe Phil Steele had him on his first team All-ACC list, if my memory serves me correctly, on that front. Mahogany, 6'3", 335-pound redshirt junior guard. Maybe the top NFL draft prospect for Boston College. Tore his right knee ACL in May. What's incredible is when you think about the recovery time that we have seen from some guys with this same issue, I just wonder if it's because of his sheer size. Recovery apparently has gone well. He hasn't received a timeline yet, according to reports. ACLs typically take 6 to 9 months, but man, with 335 pounds on there, is that legit? You know, is that a realistic timeline? I'm not sure, but again, one of the top linemen in the Atlantic Coast Conference, Christian Mahogany, up at Boston College, going to be on the shelf, it appears, for the entire season. You got to hate that. Got to hate that. Hate that for a kid, man. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line, be a part of the show anytime. I did find one other graphic today intriguing, if you will. ESPN had a graphic up that said what good college football programs are doing to elevate to elite status. And in the photo that they used, there is a picture of Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid!
Jimbo Fisher from Texas A&M. Mario Cristobal in Miami. And Mel Tucker at Michigan State. But the thing that caught my attention was, maybe more than anything, the graphic in the backdrop. I'm looking at it and I went, oh, you know what? That's a Clemson Paul. It's zoomed in. It's a big Clemson Paul. And if you go on further into the article, it's really about how teams across America are trying to figure out how to become the next Clemson. And finally, as we're short on time, in the first Loser Leaves Town match, Notre Dame sent packing. Texas A&M advances 5-1 today at the College World Series. The Aggies will take on Oklahoma tonight in an elimination game. Arkansas and Auburn for the right to play Ole Miss. We got to get out of here. Until tomorrow, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.